Morning. I want to say a word to our students today. This will be our last week before our students get a Christmas break, and we just want you to know that we wish you a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We also want you to know that we consider you part of our congregation. And I know that some of you are only here for a year, some of you will be here for more than just a year, but we don't want you to feel that you're just somebody who comes every once in a while and that we don't really notice you. We do notice you, and we appreciate you, and we thank you for being with us, and you add a lot to our service today. So we wish you the very best, and I'd like to just take a moment to stand up where we are. I want the students just to remain seated, and I would like us adults to go to you, welcome you, and thank you, and then we'll come back. So many of the Christmas scenes are really cool. I don't know if you've noticed them or not on Christmas cards and so forth. It's usually on the snow is falling gently on the Christmas Eve night, and it's beautiful and it's calm and it's lovely, and people are either on their way to a little country church or they're on their way home from a little country church, and it's just a beautiful, peaceful night. But I wonder if the story might read something like this. Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary said, "Thank you very much, but I'd rather not." There's something about this story that I missed for years. It's anything but peaceful. When you read the story, we get the benefit of everything that took place. And we know that Jesus brings us peace. But for him to come into the world, it really was anything but peaceful. There was a lot of conflict. So Mary hears the words, and she's greatly troubled by the words. But think of the man that she's engaged to be married, Joseph, and here's how Joseph felt about it in Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 20. And this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. And I'll just stop. So we remember engagements and what engagement is like in North America. And of course, engagements are different in different cultures. It certainly was different in the Jewish culture in the first century. An engagement was considered a marriage. And the only way that the engagement could be broken would be through a divorce. But a husband and wife in the Jewish culture did not come together as a husband and wife until the marriage day took place. But engagement was considered a marriage. So it's a little different than it is today in many ways. And so here is the angel speaking to Mary, and here's an angel speaking to Joseph. And it was pretty conflicting. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord, angels are everywhere in this story, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Do you believe all of your dreams? In a dream. And said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. We've been talking about it in Isaiah, which means God is with us. And when Joseph woke up, he said, ah, it's only a dream. That's not what it says. When he woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. But they had no union with her. He had no union with her until she gave birth to a son and he gave him the name Jesus. So there's this story that seems a little different than this beautiful country church where we're singing the Christmas carols, and they're lovely and they're wonderful, my favorite time of the year. And the snow's falling and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. But put yourselves, if we can, put ourselves in the shoes of the people who are involved in this story. Mary is like, you're changing my life forever. And people are going to say, yeah, right, it's of God. Yeah, right. And Joseph puts himself in this situation. And then besides all of that, I don't know if we could ever put ourselves in the shoes of these shepherds out in the field, but if you wanted to notice in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, it says this. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Of course, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on whom his favor rests. And even though we have this bright light that shines throughout the story, and even though we have angels that seem to be appearing everywhere all of the time, bringing news to people and sharing what's actually going to happen, somehow throughout this story, even throughout this bright light, there's darkness always creeping at the door. Sometimes we find that in our life. Okay, too many good things have been happening to me. I wonder when it's going to fall. I wonder when this darkness is really going to hit. There is all throughout this story, people terrified, people afraid, people's lives being turned upside down. But the benefit is going to be so fantastic. And yet at the same time, there are these dark forces trying to stop it all. We don't really picture it right away. But I'm going to go back to Matthew's account for just a moment. And we're going to take some time looking at these people called the Magi in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It says this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. I just want to stop because in many of the television shows and many of the movies and so forth and stories about Christmas, these Magi were called the wise men. And how many wise men were there? And all the shows, we know how many there were. There were three. But the Bible never says that these were wise men, but they probably were. They were most likely from the east, which they were, from probably the Persia area. Most scholars believe that they were Zoroastrian priests, and they had the ability to do something that probably none of us can do. They followed the stars. They believed with all of their might that when they saw things in the sky that wasn't right, it meant something wasn't right on the earth. Or when something fantastic was happening in the sky, it meant something fantastic was happening on the earth. And there was something happening in the sky, that there was the star that they didn't recognize, and it was moving. And they thought, that means something significant is taking place. Really a remarkable story. The Magi kind of get left off on the side, but it's really a remarkable story. And here's what happens. You know, it's so interesting how God uses all of us. He didn't necessarily use someone who was a devout Jewish scholar who was following. No, he took Zoroastrian priests from the East. So cool the way Jesus teaches too. Because he says to his own people one day, people will come from the East and the West and the North and the South, and they will take their places at the feast of the kingdom of God. And that when John announces that Jesus is for the whole world at that known time was involved in Christ's coming. We saw a star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And then it says this, because it sounds so beautiful, but then these words. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So this was not really a good word, because disturbed is a little different than when you and I think of disturbed. When we're disturbed, we go, ah, and forget about it. When Herod's disturbed, he kills people. And he was on a murdering rampage all of his time. The Roman emperors were really crazed people, many of them. They wanted to make sure that no living heirs would ever take their throne. Without getting into too much detail, King Herod was known for his murders. He had his sons killed. He had his mother killed. He had his uncles killed. He had all kinds of people killed on a whim. He was a murderer to the nth degree. And so when it says King Herod, when he heard about this, he was disturbed. Then it says this, and because of that, and all Jerusalem was disturbed with him. Are we going to be part of this murderous campaign? And when he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet was written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people. And then it says, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for a child. As soon as you find him, report it to me so that I too may go and worship him. That was a lie. And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, a moving star, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. But the story continues. Think now of the angel speaking to Joseph, staying in Matthew 2, if you're following, beginning in verse 13. And when the Magi had gone. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. So the Magi, and then the angel speaking to Joseph, all of this wonderful news is turning darker and darker and darker. And then the darkness shows up. Herod. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. I can't comprehend it. When Herod was disturbed, he started killing people. What does he do when he's furious? He's out of control. He's completely out of control. And he does something that is horrible. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. And this is where, if there's a young child close to you, you hold them tight and don't let them go. It's beyond comprehension. See, the story that we're talking about, there's always a price for God doing wonderful things for us, because the darkness in this world wants to grab that and take it away from us. But all throughout it, even in this dark, dark time, God is going to make sure that the Savior comes into the world for us. The message throughout this Christmas season is, I know it's not the best time of year for everyone. For many of us, it's wonderful, but for some, it's not. That loved one isn't going to be there this year. Or this is happening, or that's happening, and it seems like the weight of the world is upon me. The Christmas story is for you. It's for you. For those of us where everything's going well, yes, we can go home and the snow might be falling on Christmas Eve and it's wonderful and it's beautiful and we come home and go, oh, isn't that wonderful? For others, there are tears. And when we read the story of the Christmas story, there are tears everywhere. But God's arms are around all of them. And they're around all of us. We may never get this story right if we're not in despair, if we're not in trouble, if it seems like our world is falling apart. This is for you. It's the story of stories. The resurrection certainly is, but this is too, because the loss is too great. And later in this chapter, we're not going to have time to read it all, but right up to verse 18, this event that takes place makes mention of an Old Testament prophecy where Rachel was buried. This goes back in the Old Testament. Well, Rachel was buried in a very lonely place. And to this day, she stands as the saint of all parents who have lost a child. God knows. God has that child. God has that child. And he wants all people to know who have lost that you'll get it back. When you come to be with me, everything will be there. He's going to bring all things together. Everything you've lost, you'll get back. The face of that baby you never did get to see, you will see. That's the Christmas story. We can talk about gifts if we want. The greatest gift is Jesus Christ, who came to make all things right. And he will. Colossians 1, Ephesians 1, that one day all things will come together. And the last thing he says to his disciples before he leaves the earth is, all things in heaven and on earth is mine. And because they're mine, they're going to be yours. So can we wait? Can we live? Can we celebrate this Christmas story in a way that maybe we've never celebrated before? So where does the peace come from all this? Let me go back in Luke chapter 1. And I think the peace for me in this story is Mary's response to what God says to her through an angel. Luke chapter 1, verses 35 to 38. You recall at the beginning of the sermon today when the angel says to Mary, this is what's going to happen to you. And I kind of facetiously said, Mary responds by saying, thank you, but I'd rather not. Not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. In fact, her response to me is the peace of this story. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 35. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. So where's the peace? These words. Mary answered, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel leaves her. But God never does. And God never leaves us. Is it possible for us to say, we are the Lord's servant. May it be to us as you have spoken to us. Knowing that whatever you want us to do, we will do. Because of Christ. It's a beautiful understanding of the true meaning of Christmas. That God has got you and your loved ones, and that he abides with us as God abided with the shepherds in the field. He abides with us, and may we with him. I conclude by this little known passage in at the end of the book of 2 Corinthians, where it says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You see, God said to Mary through the angel, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And the Holy Spirit overshadows all of us. You're never alone. You never walk alone. I am always with you. I will always be with you. The story of Christmas brings us peace, even in the storm, that we can come alongside others as God comes alongside us. I really do wish all of you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.